بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حضرت عياس بن قتادة الشنبي رحمة الله عليه looked into a mirror once. He noticed white hair on his head. He said, after the appearance of white hair, there remains no other occupation other than the occupation of the Akhirat. Now the time to proceed to the Akhirah has dawned. Thereafter he began exerting himself excessively in preparing for the Akhirah. Once on a Friday, after completing his salah, he was coming out of the masjid. He looked up towards the sky saying, "Your coming is very blessed. I was impatiently waiting for you." Thereafter he said to those with him, "When I die, you should take me and bury me at Malhub, which is the name of a place." Thereafter his soul was extracted and he fell to the ground immediately. Before the demise of the student of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi, the student's name was Ibrahim bin Hani rahmatullahi, he asked his son, "Did the sun set as yet?" He replied, "Not as yet." "Oh my father, in this critical sickness, there is permission to break an obligatory fast and you are only observing a nafal optional fast. Please break it." Ibrahim bin Hani rahmatullahi, after seeing something strange, he said, "Wait, for such things a person has to do good deeds." This was an indication towards an ayah in Surah As-Safat, wherein Allah Ta'ala says, "Verily, this is a great success. For such a success should a person perform deeds." Thereafter he passed away. Abu Hakim Ha'iri rahmatullahi was sitting and writing something. While writing, he took out the pen from his fingers and said, "If this is the name of death, then by the oath of Allah, it is a very good death." Saying this, he passed away. When death approached Abu Wafa bin Aqil rahmatullahi, his household folk began crying. He said, "For 50 years we have been stopping it. Now for how long will you stop it? Leave me so that I can welcome its approach." Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi, the author of the famous kitab Ihya al-Ulum, after making wudu, read his Fajr Salah on a Monday. Thereafter he called for his kafan. He kissed it, placed it on his face and said, "With great joy I am presenting myself in the service of the king." Saying this, he spread his feet towards the Qibla and immediately passed away. Ibn al-Jawzi rahmatullahi says, "Before the demise of my ustaz Abu Bakr bin Habib rahmatullahi, his students requested him for some advice. He said, 'I give you 3 advices. Number 1, fear Allah. Number 2, meditate upon him in solitude. And number 3, fear that which I am facing now, that is death.' Then he said, 'I am 61 years of age, but it seems as if I have never seen this world, that is, it has passed so quickly.' Thereafter he asked someone sitting beside him, 'See, has sweat appeared on my forehead?' The person replied, 'Yes, it has appeared.' He said, 'All praise is for Allah. This is a sign of death upon Iman, as has been mentioned in one hadith too.'" When death approached the student of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi, whose name was Abul Waqt Abdul Awwal rahmatullahi, the last words which came out of his mouth were, "Would that my people know that my Lord has forgiven me and that he has included me among the honored people." This is an ayah of the second ruku of Surah Yasin. Yet we have read a number of incidents of people experiencing beautiful deaths. We know death is something inevitable. It has to come to every single person. Every single creation must perish. In fact, we have come into the world to leave the world, not to stay in the world, which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned beautifully in the hadith that kun fi dunya kaannaka ghareeb aw aabiru sabil. They live in the world like a traveler, rather like a wayfarer, someone just passing through the world, headed for his ultimate destination of the Akhirat. So this is the custom of life. We come into the world to leave the world. Our children will also leave the world. Grandchildren will come and leave. In this way, the cycle of life and death continues. Perhaps the greatest catastrophe and the saddest moment for the entire universe, demise of none other than our beloved Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam left this world, it left the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in rendered totally speechless. They were in a state of paralysis. They could not fathom that this affectionate Nabi that has been so compassionate towards us has left the world. A person with the intellect like Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, he lost his composure. When he was told that Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has left the world, he brandished his sword, took out his sword and challenged the people that don't anyone dare say that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has passed away. If anyone says that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has passed away, he will see the might of my sword. He said that perhaps Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has merely gone to meet his Lord, maybe to receive more ayat of the Quran Kareem. He will return soon. This was a plight in the state of the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in when they heard about the demise of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know that Nabi Kareem sallallahu passed away in the year 10 Hijri, and that was the year when Nabi sallallahu alaihi performed the Hajjatul Wada, the farewell pilgrimage, the farewell Hajj. Already during that Hajj, Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi gave pointers and indication towards his imminent demise and departing from the world. The first sign he gave on the plains of Arafat, he announced to the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in that whatever aspect of deen you wish to ask me now, because perhaps the following year you may not see me. Already Nabi Sallam indicated in this manner. On the plains of Arafat, the verse of the Quran was revealed, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-Islam deena. That today Allah Ta'ala says, I have perfected your deen for you, and I am happy to have chosen Islam as your deen. I have completed my favors upon you. So in this verse also was an indication. When Allah Ta'ala says that I have perfected the deen, in other words, the mission with which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sent, the mission assigned to him to convey to the entire world the laws of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Now that the Sharia, the laws, had reached completion, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's mission on earth has ended, so therefore his journey upon earth will also end soon. So here also there was a sign. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, after performing the Hajjatul Wada, returned to Madinah Munawwara, then the Surah Nasr was revealed, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. Yain also was a sign of the imminent, very soon to come, demise of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which Allah Ta'ala says, remember when the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala arrives, and when the conquest takes place, referring to the conquest of Makkah, which already had taken place in the year 8 Hijri, 2 years prior to the demise of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Allah Ta'ala says, you will see people entering the fall of Islam in droves and droves. So this was a sign that now people had got the message. The entire Arabian Peninsula, the tribes, the clans in the Bedouin areas who were yet mushrik, they were also coming to Madinah Munawwara, embracing this beautiful deen of Islam. So Allah Ta'ala says, you will see them entering the fall of Islam in droves. Therefore, glorify your sustainer and praise him. Surely he is most accepting of people's repentance. In other words, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is being told now to focus towards remembering Allah Ta'ala all the time and turning his attention towards the Akhirat. His mission on earth had ended. When this surah was revealed, Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went into the Masjid al-Nabawi, recited this surah to the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in, and then he said, in this surah, Allah Ta'ala has given a certain servant of his the choice and the option either to remain in the world or to go and meet his creator. So Nabi Kareem Sallam did not elaborate that which servant is this. But Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala was considered the most intellectual among the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. He immediately put two and two together and he realized that Nabi Sallam referring to his own imminent demise, that soon he will be leaving the world. He has been given the choice by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala either to continue remaining in the world or to leave to meet his creator. It is obvious Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam looking forward to meeting his creator. Other signs also took place in that same year. A request came from Yemen which was now conquered by the Muslims, that Nabi Sallam should dispatch a Sahabi, experienced Sahabi, to govern over a certain area of Yemen. So Nabi Sallam, in the early part of the morning, looked around at the Sahaba, and he found that the most appropriate person was Hazrat Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala. He appointed and deputed Hazrat Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala to go to Yemen to govern over Yemen. Now look at the humility of Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam bid him farewell, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam put him on a conveyance, on his camel, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam walked alongside the camel. Nabi Sallam allowed him to ride the camel, and as Nabi Sallam walked alongside him to the outskirts of Medina Munawara, Nabi Sallam continued to render advices to him. And as he was about to depart, Nabi Kareem Sallam then said to him, "O Mu'az, perhaps this is our final meeting. Now when you return to Medina Munawara, perhaps you will not visit me, but you will visit my grave." So this also was an indication. Obviously, we can well imagine what went through the heart of Hazrat Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala, that this beloved, compassionate Nabi is indicating that I will no longer be able to cool my eyes by looking at his beloved countenance. I will not be able to meet him in person. Tears began streaming down onto his cheeks. Nabi Sallam consoled him and said to him, "Do not worry. Inna awliya'a al-muttaqin ayna ma kanu, man kanu, haythu ma kanu." They do not grieve. My friends and those who are close to me are those who adopt the quality of taqwa. They practice deenul Islam. They conform to my sunnah, my lifestyle, no matter who they are, where they are. Even though you may be in a distant land of Yemen, if you continue to toe the line of Sharia, you are close to me in the spiritual sense. So do not grieve. In this way, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam bid him farewell. After that, Mu'adh radhiyallahu anhu departed. One day prior to his death illness, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam paid his respects in Jannatul Baqi to the Sahaba that had left the world, made dua istighfar for them. Nabi Sallallahu went to the foot of the Mount Uhud and made dua for the martyrs of Uhud. And then he returned home. When he returned home, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam developed a splitting headache. And he came to the home of his beloved wife, Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha. When he came to the home, it so happened, Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha also developed a headache. So she complained about the headache. She said, "Wa ra'sa," that my head is aching tremendously. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "That is a complaint I ought to make, because my head also is paining, my head also is aching." So then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to her, that, "O Aisha, Allah knows who will leave the world first. If you depart before me, I will attend to the burial rites. I shall make sure that you are buried, given ghusl, kafan, buried with dignity. I shall perform your janazah salah, make dua istighfar for you." So the Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha even very jokingly mentioned that, "O Nabi of Allah, you are just waiting for me to depart from the world so that you can get married to another woman and she can take my place." So jokingly, the husband and wife had this conversation. Thereafter, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's headache increased in proportion, increased in its intensity, until such a stage that the effect of the headache was such that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's entire body became feverish. And he was in a very high state of fever. He lay down on the bed. Some Sahaba came to visit him. Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu visited him. When Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu placed his hand on the forehead, on the body of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was searing hot. He could not even put his hand on the body of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he said to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "You have a great amount of fever." So Nabi saw mentioned, "Naam, ana u'aku kama yu'aku rajulani minkum." That when I get fever, my fever is equivalent to the fever of two men like you. I get the fever of two men, double the fever what other people experience. So this fever then increased so much so that Nabi Sallam became very weak and used to fall into unconsciousness. Sometimes his eyes would open, again he would slip into unconsciousness in that state. Like this, a few days went by, 3 or 5 days. After 5 days, then Nabi Sallam opened his eyes. He felt a bit more relieved on that day. He said to the Sahaba, his wives around him, they take 7 leather containers of water and pour it over me, give me a bath. I feel that today I have some energy. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took a bath and then he was strong enough to stand up. He proceeded to the masjid. After 5 days he appeared in the Masjid An-Nabawi. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu majmain were totally overjoyed that after 5 days we are able to see the beloved face of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then after the salah that he performed, Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu addressed the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majmain, and now he did not merely drop hints. He was clear to the point and he said to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majmain, Allah has given me the choice either to stay in the world or to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have chosen to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so perhaps you will no longer meet me again. Therefore he said to them, if anyone has any rights outstanding upon me, they may claim the right. If ever I beat anyone up, here is my body, here is my back. You may afflict my body with blows in order to take a return for my having beaten you. And if I have taken the wealth of anyone, I am here, you may claim your wealth from me. But obviously Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had no such rights of anyone that were outstanding on him. And even the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhu majmain realized this. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam returned to his room, returned to his home, and again he fell seriously ill and he slipped into a state of unconsciousness. He continued to lose consciousness in this manner. And then while he was in the home, each time he would open his eyes, his only concern, his fikr, the words coming out from his lips, Rabbi ummati ummati, Allahumma ghfir li ummati. Oh Allah, what will happen about my ummat? Oh Allah, you forgive my ummat. This was a concern even in that condition of his beloved ummat, of you and I. Nabi Sallam had that concern, that worry for us. And then it so happened that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after a few more days had expired, a certain day came when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the day that he passed away, he felt a bit better. He thought he could proceed to the masjid. So before that there was one day in between where with the support of some sahaba he went to the masjid, he performed salah. But on the day of his demise, he could stand up himself without support. He went to the edge of his room, opened the curtain, and he saw the sahaba performing salah behind Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, because in his death illness, he had issued the command that Muru Abu Bakrin falyusalli bin nas. That command Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, now he will take over the duty of performing salah. This was an indication that that man who is fit to take on the musalla of Rasulullah Kareem sa'azim, to be imam in place of Rasulullah Kareem sa'azim, he will obviously be deserving of the post of Imamul Muslimin, Amirul Mu'mineen. He will become the first Khalifa of Rasulullah Kareem sa'azim. This was a clear indication. So on the day of his demise, Nabi sa'azim opened the curtain and he wished to look at the Sahaba. He thought he had the strength to go to the masjid, but then he became very weak again. He merely opened the curtain to express his joy that all the Sahaba were happily performing salah behind Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. During those days of death illness, certain Sahaba saw certain dreams as well. Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha saw a dream that in the dream she sees a full moon coming down from the skies and disappearing into her room. She could not interpret the dream. She mentioned this to her father, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. He in his heart of hearts knew what the interpretation was, that very soon this full moon, the radiant face of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will disappear from us and Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be buried in the very same room where he stayed with Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, because it was a custom that a Nabi, when he passes away, he is buried in the same spot where he passes away. And towards the end of his death illness, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent his days in the home of Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. Although Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam still considered the turns of his various wives, he would go from one home to the other, but the wives themselves realized that this was inconveniencing Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam to go from one home to the other. They themselves then relinquished their rights and they said to Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, knowing that his most beloved and loved wife was Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha, so they consented to him spending the rest of his days at the home of Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha. In this way, Nabi Sallam's death illness continued for just a little over 10 days. So Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha saw this dream, that the moon is descending. Prior to this, when Nabi Sallam got married to Hazrat Khadija radhiyallahu anha, Hazrat Khadija radhiyallahu anha also, before her marriage to Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, she saw a moon, full moon descending, coming into her lap. Hazrat Safiya radhiyallahu anha also once saw such a dream. So there the interpretation was obvious, that this radiant noor and moon, the being of Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, coming into her lap would mean he would enter into marriage with Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra radhiyallahu ta'ala anha. And in the dream Hazrat Khadija saw, when the moon came into her lap, she saw the radiance and the light and the noor of that moon spreading through the four corners of the universe. This was interpreted to mean that the deen of Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was spread throughout the world, which we can see today. Another dream was seen by Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. In a dream he saw that he had a coat of armor, as if getting ready for battle. As he stood up, the coat of armor dropped from his body onto the floor. He later came and explained this dream to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. While Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in his death illness, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam interpreted it thus, that coat of armor symbolized none other than me, that as long as I was in your midst, you had my protection from fitnas, from trials and tribulations. But now, what you saw in the dream, the coat of armor falling off, means that I will depart from the world, and then you will be faced with great trials and difficulties. And that history shows that in the reign of Ali karamallahu wajhahu, the battles that took place even amongst Muslims was Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, the Khawarij becoming antagonistic towards Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and the surfacing of the Shia fitna. All this occurred during the reign of Hazrat Ali karamallahu wajhahu. So Nabi Sallam indicated towards us. Nabi Sallam beloved daughter Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha, she saw in a dream that she is having one page of the Quran busy reciting. All of a sudden that page disappeared from her hand, and she is going around searching for other pages of the Quran to recite. Because up to that point of time, in Nabi Sallam's time, the Quran was not as yet written in book form. It was on different pages, etc., on various parchments, on pieces of leather, etc. So she asked for the interpretation. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that page of the Quran that you are reciting that disappeared, that symbolized me, that I will now disappear from the world, and you will go around searching for me, but you will not find me in the world. I will be no longer amongst you. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam beloved two grandsons, Hazrat Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhu, saw a dream that they were carrying a plank above their head, walking beneath the plank, and tears were streaming down their cheeks. They came, they were still children, they came to Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at his bedside and explained the dream. Nabi Sallam put his hands over these little innocent children's heads and explained to them, that plank that you saw means that you will be carrying my janaza, and tears that were streaming down your cheeks indicated that you will grieve over my parting from you. So these various dreams were seen. The day of the demise of Nabi Sallam arrived. On that day, some events took place. First and foremost, he was in the home of Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. Nabi Sallam passed away, so to say, with his head resting on the chest of Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. And she says, before Nabi Sallam departed from the world, the brother of Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha came into the room and he was busy using a miswak. Nabi Sallam did not have the strength to speak, but he indicated with his signs over the eyes that he wished to use a miswak. Aisha Siddiqa radhiallahu anha took the miswak from her brother, and she saw that it was a bit hard on the edges. She chewed it to soften it, and she passed it over to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Nabi Sallam, before leaving the world, this great sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, before leaving the world, implemented this sunnah of miswak. As Aisha Siddiqa radhiallahu anha was overjoyed at this, that before Nabi Sallam parted from the world, my saliva mixed with the saliva of my beloved husband Nabi Karim Sawasam, because I use a miswak in my mouth to soften it, and then Nabi Sawasam utilized a miswak. And then it comes that Malakul Maut, the angel of death, arrived to extract the ruh, the soul of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Even Nabi Sawasam had to experience this phase of death. The Quran says, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتُ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ, that you also have to taste of death like everyone else has to go through this phase. Malakul Maut came to the door and he called out, "Aadkhulu, may I enter?" He asked for permission to enter. This was something that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained to his wives also. That when any Nabi leaves the world, Malakul Maut comes and takes permission. Allah Ta'ala gives him the instruction that do not accept the ruh, the soul of my Nabi, without his prior consent and permission. Ask him whether he prefers to come and meet his creator or continue living on the face of the earth. This happened to the other Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. When Hazrat Malakul Maut came to accept the ruh was Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Hazrat Adam alayhi salam asked Malakul Maut that tell me, after you extract my ruh, my soul, will I be sent back to the same Jannat from which I was banished for eating the forbidden fruit? Can you give me a guarantee that Allah Ta'ala will send me to Jannat? So Malakul Maut said, of course. Look towards the skies. When he looked upwards, he saw that Jannat was decorated waiting for him. And then he felt at ease. He gave permission for Malakul Maut to extract his ruh. When Malakul Maut came to extract the ruh, was Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. As Nuh alayhi salam made tabligh towards his people for 950 years. According to one narration, his total age span was 1300 years, 1300 years. So as Malakul Maut came to extract his ruh to take permission, as Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam says, what is a hurry? Why have you come so soon? So as Malakul Maut tells him, oh no, you stayed in the world for 1300 years, are you not tired of the world? Are you not looking forward to meeting your creator? So he said, I have stayed in the world for 1300 years. Yet it appears, these 1300 years, as if I entered the front door of a house, and I'm leaving the back door of a house. This is how short this life has been. When Hazrat Malakul Maut came to accept the ruh of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, we know Musa alayhi salam had a temper. In those days, Malakul Maut used to come in human form. So he came in human form. When Hazrat Musa alayhi salam realized he has come to take my soul, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam slapped him across the face. And that caused one of his eyes to burst. Malakul Maut went to complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala restored that eye of his and said to him, go back to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and say to him, do you still wish to remain in the world? If you wish to remain, look at that cow, or there was an ox next to him. In equivalent to the amount of hairs on the body of that ox, you will be allowed to remain further in the world. So when Malakul Maut conveyed the message, he asked, what happens after that? So Malakul Maut said, after that also is death. So he said, if that's the case, then extract my ruh. So in this way, Malakul Maut came to extract the ruh of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, took permission to enter, permission to extract the ruh of Rasul Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Rasul Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to him, wait for a while. Send Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam to me. I wish to ask him a question. Jibreel alayhi salam appeared. Nabi Sallallahu asked him, that tell me what has Allah done about the forgiveness of my ummah, about the future of my ummah in the akhirat. First tell me that, put me at ease. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Allah Ta'ala has made Jannat haram upon all the ummahs, that first your ummah will enter Jannat, then only the other ummahs that on Iman will be allowed to enter Jannat. So Nabi Sallallahu put at ease, alhamdulillah, these are glad tidings, that my ummah will be the first to enter Jannat. Then Rasul Karim Sallallahu uttered words which Aisha Siddiqa radhiallahu anha heard, and she remembered that Nabi Sallallahu used to say that every Nabi is given a choice at the time of his death, to leave the world and meet his creator, or to remain in the world. Nabi Sallallahu uttered the words, Allahumma bir rafiq al-a'la, that, oh Allah, I wish to join with you, my creator, to come into your companionship. When these words were heard by Aisha Siddiqa radhiallahu anha, she realized that the time of the demise of Nabi Karim Sallallahu has arrived, he has chosen to go to meet his creator and not to live in the world any longer. At that point of time, even the Nabi of Allah experienced sakarat. He said, Inna lil mawti sakarat. Allahumma a'inni fi sakarat. Oh Allah, assist me in the sakarat, in the pangs of death. Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radhiallahu anha saw that Nabi Sallam also went through the difficulty of sakarat. From that day she said that before this I was under the misconception. I had the false notion that going through a difficult death is a sign of a person being evil. But Nabi Sallam, there was no one more benevolent, no one more righteous than Nabi Sallam. When I saw that Nabi Sallam experienced this pain and this difficulty, I knew that this cannot be the sign of a bad death. And beads of perspiration were coming down the forehead of Nabi Kareem Sawasam. This was also a good sign, because in the hadith, Nabi Sawasam is mentioned to this effect, Al-mu'minu yamutu bi'arqil jabin, that a mu'min leaves the world with beads of perspiration on his forehead. This is a sign of true iman. Nabi Sawasam departed in this way. Before he departed, he gave very important advices, As-salatu ma malakat aymanukum, that look after your namazes, and look after your servants, your subordinates, do not ill-treat them. And he also said, La tattakhidhu qabri wasna, do not make my grave a place of worship, like people did of previous communities. Do not prostrate before my grave, it is not a place of worship. These type of advice the Nabi Sallam gave, and he said, hold on, fast onto the teaching of the Qur'an, follow the teachings of the Qur'an. And Nabi Sallam then departed from the world, and was buried by the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majmain. At that point of time, when the announcement was made, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu had gone to the outskirts of Medina. He got the news of Nabi Sallam's demise. He came rushing. He came to the home of his daughter Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, and he removed the sheet from the face of Nabi Sallam, and he planted a kiss on the forehead of Nabi Karim Sallam. We can well imagine what went through his heart. And then he went into the masjid where the Sahaba were all gathered in a state of shock, in a state of paralysis. Umar Farooq radiallahu was brandishing his sword, that anyone who says that Nabi Sallam had left the world has passed away, he will see the might of my sword. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu went into the masjid. No one could dare challenge Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala. But when Abu Bakr appeared, everyone turned their attention towards Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. And he made certain statements that made the people convinced that yes, Nabi Sallam has left the world. He recited the verse of the Quran, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِ الرُّسُولٌ أَفَإِمْ مَاتَ وَقُتِلًا قَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ عَقَابِكُمْ. Then Muhammad Sallam was after all also a messenger of Allah. Many messengers came to the world and departed from the world. If this Nabi, this Rasul will pass away, or if he is killed, are you going to turn on your heels? Will you turn away from Islam? That is totally inappropriate. You have to accept that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has to go and meet his creator. He also has to leave the world. He has departed from the world. Then Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said words to this effect, Man kana ya'budu Muhammadan fa innahu qad mat, wa man kana ya'budu Allah fa innahu hayyun la yamut. That those who had the notion that they could worship Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, remember that he was a mortal, he has passed away. But those who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is everlasting, Allah is there to last forever and ever. He put the people at ease, then they accepted that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has passed away. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given his due respects and buried in the room of Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha. Before he passed away, his beloved daughter Hazrat Fatima radhiyallahu anha came to his bedside. When she saw the sakrat, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam about to pass away, she began to shed tears. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam consoled his daughter and said that, oh my daughter, la karba li abika ba'd al-yawm, after today your father will face no further difficulty, because now I'm going to meet my creator. While he was in a death illness, when Hazrat Fatima realized that Nabi Sallam is going to depart from the world, Nabi Sallam whispered two sentences in her ear. The first sentence made her weep, and the second sentence made her smile. Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha noticed this, and she asked a secret from Fatima radhiyallahu anha, but Fatima refused to divulge the secret. After the demise of Nabi Sallam, when she was asked again, she replied that on the first occasion Nabi Sallam called me close and he whispered into my ear that it is time for me to depart from you, my beloved daughter. I have to leave the world. So on that I cried, I wept that I'm going to part from my father. But then he gave me glad tidings that from my family the first to meet me will be you, O Fatima, and you will be made the queen of the women of Jannat. On that she says, I smiled. And it so happened that a mere 6 months after the demise of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his daughter Fatima radhiyallahu anha went on to meet her beloved father, and she passed away. Hazrat Bilal radhiyallahu ta'ala, when he heard about the demise of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he could not tolerate remaining in Medina Munawwara. Everything reminded him of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He migrated from Medina Munawwara to a place called Halb in Syria. Another Sahabi, when he heard about the demise of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he made dua to Allah Ta'ala, that, oh Allah, till today I used to cool my eyes looking at the beloved face of Rasul Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now he is no longer amongst us. Allahumma alhi basari hatta la ara ba'da habibi ahada. Oh Allah, take away my eyesight. What use is his eyesight if I cannot utilize it to see Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? His dua was accepted and his eyesight was taken away. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala then migrated to Syria. After a year had passed, he saw in a dream, Rasul Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes to him in the dream. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says to him, "Oh Bilal, why do you not come visit me? Why have you not returned to Madinah Munawwara?" So that same night his eyes open, he gets onto his camel, and that very same night he travels to Madinah Munawwara with the hope that perhaps Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has come back to life. He's waiting to meet me. He comes to Madinah Munawwara. The first thing he goes to search for Nabi Sallam in the masjid, he does not find Nabi Sallam there. He goes to the homes of Nabi Sallam, he does not find him there. Then he goes to the grave of Rasul Karim Sallam. He realizes that Nabi Sallam is resting in his grave. He has definitely passed away. He has not returned to life. When the people of Madinah Munawwara knew that Bilal radiallahu ta'ala has returned after here, there was joy throughout Madinah Munawwara that the muazzin of Nabi Sallam has returned. And they all begged him to once again call out the adhan so that memories of Rasul Kareem Sa'azam can be restored. But he refused to call out the adhan. He said, "When I will call out Ashhadu Anna Muhammadan Rasulullah," that time while I used to call out this, I used to see the beloved face of Nabi Sa'azam in front of me. Now I will not see his face. How will I call out Ashhadu Anna Muhammadan Rasulullah? He refused. Then people made the grandsons of Nabi Sa'azam, Hassan and Hussein, to intercede. When they went up and requested Bilal radiallahu ta'ala that call out the adhan just for once more, he acceded to their request that you are the beloved flowers of my master Nabi Karim Sa'azam, his grandchildren. How can I refuse your request? And then he climbed the roof of Masjid al-Nabawi and he called out the adhan. When the people heard the beautiful melodious voice of Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, people ran out of their homes. It reminded them of the time of Rasul Karim Sa'azam. Children ran out, women ran out, and all were weeping profusely, thinking about the time of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, after giving adhan, when he realized, whilst giving adhan, I did not see Nabi Sa'azam, he collapsed and fell down unconscious. People revived him, and then later he could not tolerate remaining in Madinah Munawwara. He returned to the place Halb in Syria, where his resting place is today. He passed away there and is buried in Syria. So this was the demise of Rasul Karim Sa'azam. When Nabi Sa'azam left the world, when he had to taste death, kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut, every soul shall taste of death. We have to prepare for that day. And that day will come upon each and every one of us. And we have to make preparations. This life is too short to enjoy the luxuries of this world. Let us sacrifice the luxuries. Sacrifice our sleep. This beloved month, tonight perhaps, in all likelihood, could be the Shab-e Qadr, Laylatul Qadr. Let us spend as much time as possible in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, waiting for that day to meet our Creator, and waiting inshallah with the hope that in the Akhirat, inshallah, we will meet our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannat al-Firdaus. But yes, we have to prepare for that day. The Sahaba had that tremendous love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is why they had hope that they will meet Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannat. Hazrat Zayd bin Dasina radiallahu ta'ala, when he was arrested, taken into captivity, brought to the gallows, about to be executed, Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala, who at that point of time had not accepted Islam, he put a question to Hazrat Zayd bin Dasina radiallahu ta'ala. He asked him that we are about to execute you. أَتُحِبُّ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا الآن فِي مَكَانِكَ نَضْرِبُ عُنُقَهُ وَأَنْتَ جَالِسٌ فِي أَهْلِكَ. That listen, we are about to execute you. Are you ready for this? That we arrest your Nabi Muhammad in your place. We behead him and allow you to go scot-free to enjoy your time with your family. So look at the reply he gave. He said, لا أحب أن محمدا الآن في مكانه الذي هو فيه تصيبه شوكة وأنا جالس في أهلي. Wherever my beloved Nabi may be, I cannot even tolerate a thorn pricking the feet of Nabi Sa'asim while I sit in the comfort of my home. Abu Sufyan, when he heard this, he had to say, and he exclaimed, that ما رأيت أحدا يحب أحدا كحب أصحاب محمد محمدا. Till today, I have never seen anyone portray such love for another person as portrayed by the Sahaba for their beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had this love for this ummah, they in turn had love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We too should show love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But love should not be a mere hollow claim. Together with that love, that claim of love should portray the sunnah of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our lives, in our appearance, in our eating, in our drinking, in our lifestyle. Then truly we can say that alhamdulillah, we have true love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself said, "Man ahabba sunnati faqad ahabbani, wa man ahabbani kana ma'i fil jannah." He who shows love for my sunnat has shown love for me, and he who loves me will be in my company in jannah. Allah ta'ala give us a good fortune of inshallah being in the blessed company of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inshallah in jannah. Whenever we hear about the demise of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was a great loss for the entire universe. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Nabi Sa'ad was sent as a rahmat for the entire universe, for the different universes, for the world of man, for the world of jinn, for the world of the malaika. When Nabi Sa'ad passed away, even the malaika wept in the heavens on the parting of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when we hear about the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever we hear, we should recite, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." Inshallah, Allah ta'ala will to a certain extent console us and create that inshallah aspiration in us to inshallah meet our Nabi in the akhirat. Allah bless us and grant us inshallah that good fortune. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.